them up on the web. You'll find their phone numbers easily enough, and tell them your opinion of whether you support or don't support a war with North Korea. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 o'clock, it'll be Between the Covers. We're going out to you at 90.7 FM in Cascadia and other frequencies in the greater Cascadia area. Stay tuned to KBOO.FM, and it is via the World Wide Web on KBOO.FM that we go out to all the ships at sea.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 10 o'clock, and coming up next is Air Cascadia.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Guerrillas of Desire book launch with Kevin Van Meter on Thursday, August 10th at 7:30 at Powell's on Hawthorne in Portland. Guerrillas of Desire argues that the left is wrong. The strategies are often based on the assumption that working and poor people are unorganized or simply uninterested in building a new world. Again, that's Guerrillas of Desire book launch with Kevin Van Meter on Thursday, August 10th at 7:30 at Powell's Books, 3723 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is getting ready for our annual book and record sale. Your unwanted books, records, and DVDs are treasures to someone else. Help them find new homes while raising money for your community radio station, KBOO. Bring them to KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We are accepting donations of books, vinyl records, CDs, and DVDs through Friday, August 11th. Please, no home-recorded cassettes, VHS tapes, or mold. The KBOO Book and Record Sale will be held on Saturday, August 19th. If you have questions or want to arrange for a pickup of donations, please email Ani at volunteer@kboo.org or phone her at 503-231-8032, extension 213.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, August 10th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, and your whistleblower radio. Of course, we are your fake news radio, are we not? Just as all actual real news is these days, coming this message to bring up brought to you by a golf course in New Jersey. We're at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. And everywhere has got weather, so do we. Today, mostly sunny, bit of that smoky haze, highs near 88. And for tonight, same thing abides, mostly clear, lows around 63. And tomorrow, Friday, dawns mostly sunny, highs around 84. Ooh, chilly, huh? And for Friday night, clear skies, lows around 63. Still wind waiting in the wind is waiting in the wings. And Saturday, let's plow through the weekend since I won't be here tomorrow. For Saturday, partly sunny, highs around 81, and a 20% chance of showers over the night, lows around 64. Sunday, slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy, highs around 74. And Sunday night, again, that hovering hovering possibility there before midnight, and mostly cloudy, of course. How else would you get showers if it wasn't cloudy with a low around 60? That's it. Full circle, Monday morning. And today's guest, we've got just a couple of headlines to get through first. There is a bit of legislation and an idea out there which should be, I think, considered. The media has done a fantastic job of ratcheting up hysteria over what they call the opioid crisis. It's not an opioid crisis. It's a crisis of despair. Opiates have been used for thousands upon thousands of years, far longer. It has a far longer history of healing than marijuana does. We don't hear of any opioid crises in these 30,000 years of use as a very important medicine all across the world. Mid-1700s, 1800s, it was available in any pharmacy. It was on, women took it for various reasons, it was on the shelves, children were given it, and nobody ran around with their hair on fire, wringing their underpants and screaming, opioid crisis. It seems that this has been amped up mainly to cover for the fact that all research into the possible side effects of marijuana uses, all of that has ceased and deceased on account of so much money pouring in. Wow, take a look at the numbers. Holy Christ, this is the biggest thing since, I don't know, marijuana, I guess. So think about that. We don't have an opioid crisis. We have a despair crisis where people are resorting to drugs, resorting to alcohol, resorting to suicide because of the overall sense of desperation in the country, which is not helped by amping up fear whenever possible. And wow, have they ever got the best thing that could ever happen to an autocratic government that seeks to keep the populace under control by use of fear. We have the world in flames, brought to you by voices emanating from a golf course in New Jersey, which I hate to tell you, but yes, he does carry the button with him wherever he goes. And yes, he could accidentally push it when he tees up for that big drive. Yes, that's true. That said, on July 6th, the Oregon legislature voted to decriminalize cocaine, heroin, methamphetamines, oxycodone, LSD, and ecstasy, while reform of prohibitions on both medical and recreational use of marijuana has gained popularity in states across the country. Most people remain skeptical of the benefits of reducing or eliminating the criminal penalties for the harder drugs, yet rolling back prohibitions on harder drugs is likely to bring greater benefits than those produced by the relaxation of marijuana prohibitions, precisely because the harder drugs are more dangerous. That's why it's Oregon House Bill 2355, which would become state law if Governor Kate Brown signs it. And you might want to just make a call to the gov. That said, fusion centers, decade and a half later, Homeland Security's experiment in intelligence collection continues to violate civil liberties to absolutely zero value. So far, this has done no good whatsoever. But, definitely is another money hole into which Republicans have no problem discreetly dropping a bag of cash into a waste paper basket or a urinal as they exit the men's room at the golf, and just before they go out there and hit the golf course. private prison secrecy. Ben Carn's got a bill to stop that. There's nothing worse, the worst combination you could possibly imagine would be private prisons, secrecy, and the corporations behind it all. Like, you got to wonder, like, why the secrecy? When this is already a prison, it's almost impossible to get any information in or out. So we've got there's so much going on. Has anybody taken time to think about the plight of people in Yemen lately? The blockade is killing way more people than any bombs. And that said, turns out that Donald Trump speaks Korean language. Oh, yes. Senior American officials have sent messages indicating that Donald Trump is not actually off his rocker completely. It just means that he understands Kim Jong-un and he knows how to speak the man's language. Well, geez, what a relief. Here, this is what's a relief. We've got Christine Hong back, as promised. You responded to her last conversation with us in a very positive way, and so we do want to bring her back. Because, and if not now, when? Good morning, Christine, and good morning to your baby too.
Oh, good morning. I'm so sorry. So it's
don't
it's
apologize.
On the air, you know.
We love it. Love it.
Yes. Yeah.
If I had a baby, I'd put that baby on the air straight away. Absolutely. So this is interesting, the channels in which fear flows around the world. So far, the South Korean people don't seem to be, so to speak, drinking Kool-Aid. America, the Trump administration has used this recent
ICBM launch
incident with North Korea to amp up the fear, and of course they're using that to huge effect in this country. The business about excusing Donald Trump from his mad tirade about burning the world down to the bottom was excused because of the reason that he was simply indicating how deep his understanding was of Kim Jong-un's mind. So somehow I don't feel that relieved. Can you talk a little bit about the current situation and the way it is being used as a lever by various administrations in that area?
Well, you know, I'll say a few things. You're absolutely right that the South Korean people haven't been drinking the Kool-Aid. In fact, when they have been polled as to what country they view as the greater threat, the United States or North Korea, you know, the United States wins hands down. There's no contest. And in fact, 80% of the South Korean people also indicate in the same poll that they want their new president, Moon Jae-in, to negotiate with North Korea. And in fact, he came in on a wave of popular protests that had millions of people taking to the street, ousting a very neoconservative right-wing the dictator's daughter, Park Geun-hye. And she had been democratically elected, but through a lot of sort of nefarious means and shenanigans. And so what you have basically is a very, even though Moon Jae-in has made concessions to Donald Trump, which are very unfortunate, including the completion of the THAAD anti-missile deployment to South Korea, which the South Korean people don't want, China doesn't want, Russia doesn't want. They view those as an infringement upon their national sovereignty.
Tell me again what this is.
The Terminal High Altitude Area Defense System, which is in theory supposed to check a North Korean threat. It does nothing of the sort if you actually study the logistics. It's actually something, as Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi has stated, that points at the Asian heartland and is meant to, as with most of the U.S. anti-North Korea policy, truly aim to check China. And China is no fool about that. And so basically, what you have is a Trump administration that is going rogue in a number of ways. Traditionally, even though South Korea is the junior partner in a colonial relationship that has the United States having command control over the South Korean military in times of active war, And, you know, even though the United States stations roughly 30,000 U.S. forces south of the DMZ and operates approximately 100 military installations, all in violation of the 1953 Korean War Armistice Agreement, with the Korean War not being over, the fact of the matter is that most U.S. presidents have seen fit to consult with their South Korean junior counterpart. And in this instance, there was a summit between Donald Trump and Moon Jae-in in the not-too-distant past, very recently, and Moon Jae-in came away saying that war most definitely was not an option, and that was something that he and Donald Trump had come to see eye to eye on. And then when you hear Donald Trump's statement about, you know, fire and fury, you know, it's extraordinary that he would use that Truman-esque phrase during a time of the 72nd anniversary of the U.S. atomic bombings of civilian populations at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And so there is something about this where it's not that he's speaking North Korea's language. This is an absolute joke. What he is doing is... Oh.
I'm sorry. That would be our cue music.
Okay.
My engineer is trying to tell me that it's time to go out.
Okay.
I want to invite you back very soon. Okay. My next possible date would be Tuesday, and I'd like very much to talk some more about this. This is a clear-eyed, level-headed analysis of the situation. Can't thank you more. My guest has been Christine Hong. Cannot thank you more for this. Thank you so much for taking the time at the University of California, Santa Cruz. Thanks, and we'll speak to you again Tuesday. This has been a Cascadia Thought Thursday, August 10th, 2017. What you hear in the background is, of course, some sunny day that brings to a close Dr. Strangelove. Engineering for us today, Rock Bergeron. Thanks, Rock, for that. And for Derek Crooks, is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris.